Congregationally consider this morning what you can find in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 40, on page 76. Questions 105, 106, 107. What does God require in the sixth commandment? That neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself, or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. Also, that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Therefore also the magistrate is armed with a sword to prevent murder. 106. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the cause thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. 107. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in his lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. So far. Christ slain in order to save them that kill image bearers of God. Long theme. Christ slain in order to save them that kill, that murder the image bearers of God. Three thought. God's image bearers. Secondly, murdering image bearers. And three, Christ slain as the express image. Christ slain in order to save them that murder God's image. Image bearers, God's image bearers, murdering image bearers, Christ slain as the express image. Congregation of the short commandment, thou shalt not kill. In Hebrew, only two words. Only two words. Thou shalt not kill. And although very short, what a depth, how wide is this commandment. We could fill several sermons on it. We won't do that. We limit ourselves. It's quite something. Thou shalt not kill. Our catechism explained it so beautiful. Some translate different and say thou shalt not murder. Well, the original word in the Hebrew can mean anything. Can mean both things. Can mean to kill in the legal way. Can also mean kill in the murderous way. So we better let it stand the way it is. But in this context, it's true. The Lord forbids murder, not per se all killing. Some killing is legal, right? And the police officer feels attacked, and he shoots and he kills a person in self-defense, that's not murder. that's not in this commandment, thou shalt not kill. He killed the person in self-defense. He had to. So, pacifists don't find arguments in this commandment, saying we should have no weapons, should be no war, we should always be kind and friendly to our enemies and not attack and not defend ourselves. No, that's not here. Thou shalt not kill is very precise. But what's wrong with that? Why is it so wrong to kill a person? Because we are image bearers of God. I'll give you an example. For example, a statue of Hussein or Stalin representing the proud person and his authority. Then people topple that statue and dishonor it and burn it and step on it and spit on it. That's humiliating, that image. And so people, we all are God's statues, God's image bearers, God's pictures. After the Second World War, I've seen pictures of it. People have attacked pictures of Adolf Hitler. With knives and pistols, they shoot at pictures. And you see those pictures being burned. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the picture of the Lord. We all are a picture of the Lord, made in his image. And we should not do that. We are God's image. Let me read it to you. This must sink in, being God's image. Something of God painted, created in us. And God said, let us make man in our image. That's so important. In our image, after our likeness. They must resemble me, us, in the Holy Trinity. They must reflect something of God, so God sees God in his image, in people. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So it is repeated still at least three times. In God's image, in God's likeness, he did it. In God's image, in his likeness, people have something of God in them. You would say, did we not lose that image of righteousness, holiness, and knowledge? We did, in the narrower sense, and still we have something left of God's image. We still have a conscience. We still have some resemblance. We have a sense of God and good and evil. We have a soul for eternity. We are people. We are humans. You also see this in Genesis 9, after the flood. And surely your blood of your life shall I require at the hand of every beast, shall I require it. If an ox, a horse, a cow attacks and kills a person, that animal needs to be butchered. So it says, your blood of your lives shall I require at the hand of every beast and at the hand of man. At hands of every man's brother will I requite the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? It says that. For in the image of God made he man. Have you seen yourself that way? As God's image bearer, we are not animals. We don't believe in the evolution theory that we are special apes, developed a little longer and further, but deep down animals, as I hear people say sometimes. We are so different. We are image bearers of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the human nature in order to save people from their sins. People, not animals. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of them that are lost. Lost people, not lost devils, but lost people. So we must consider who we are. Image bearers, having a conscience, having a soul, having a destiny. We are created for eternity. We die and yet we live on in the soul. So serious. We are people, men and women, made in, I say it again, the image of God. Even embryos, unborn, very small yet. Take an x-ray, take an ultrasound, and you see it. Little hands, little feet, head. They're humans, right? You can have it in your hands. So small, apparently not just an organ, not just some tissue, not an animal, but a human being created in God's image. And if you do something to God's image, you do something to God himself. It's his image. So everyone is an image bearer of God, challenged mentally, physically, poor, homeless, black, Indian, First Nations, whoever it is, all people are the same image bearers of God. And that's how we should view them and respect them and highly esteem them and love them and say that is a person. It's a person. Right? Showing patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him and prevent his hurt as much as in his lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. They're all the image bearers of God. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul writes about it, and that's why David speaks that he was conceived and born in sin. Think about that. Conceived and born in sin was a little sinner in the womb. Sinner? So that means not an animal. That means a person. A person that is guilty, unworthy of life, but yet a little sinner in the womb, born in sin. Or think of Psalm 139. I often read that psalm at a baby visit, right? In God's book, all my members were written, which in continuous are fashioned. There was yet none of them. God's manual, God's book, all the pieces put together. Thou hast seen my substance, yet being imperfect. Curiously wrought. Knitted by the Lord with his hand in the womb. So we must respect human life very much. Whoever people are, gifted, poor, rich, insane, lunatic, craziest people, the most horrible people are still image bearers of God, and we have no reason to hate them. We must love everyone as ourselves. Also ourselves, we may not hate self, we may not commit suicide, we may not self-mutilate, we may not hurt ourselves, because we are God's image bearers, created in the likeness of the Almighty One. And yet, sin against this sixth commandment is to hurt image bearers of God. Our second thought. Suppose they have a bill, money bill, with the likeness of Queen Elizabeth. And she is visiting Vancouver. And I approach her against the etiquette. And I show her the bill. And I have a lighter and I light it. And I burn her image in front of her eyes. That's so offensive. That is so rude. There's no words for that. I will be arrested. I will get jail time. Being so harsh and so rude on someone in such a dignity, burning her image in front of her eyes. And that is what people do. We topple the images of Stalin and Hitler and Hussein, and we burn the flags, and so we all throw sins when we hate people, harm people, take revenge upon people, then we hurt God's image. And that's not only an attack taking people. It's not only waste of money when I burn a piece of money. It is an offense against the Queen. Because it's her image. And so if I do something against a person, I do something against God, because she is the image of the Almighty One. It's unreal. I listened to a few of the numbers about it. Since 1953, how many children were aborted in the United States, you think? Since 1953, 65 years ago, then they started counting, I believe. 5 million? 55 million people have been aborted. 55 million mothers have said, I don't want this child, and they killed the image bearers of God. And that was the will of doctors and parents and boyfriends and men and family. Some paid for this, some reported this, some had parades for this, some glorify this. There's so many murderers. Our nations are bloody nations. We kill so many of them. Several states. How many people in Canada? 30 million or so? That's the whole population, almost twice over. All killed. And that blood cries against us. It's God's image. Let's think also about Cain. I like a Bible study. I like a Bible chapter. I read it over a few times and studied it a little bit. I want to insert that in a sermon. I feel I have to. Adam knew his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain. Adam said, Cain, meaning acquired, received of the Lord. And she conceived Berkain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She was so happy. I'm sure she thought, this is the child of the promise. This is the seed of the woman. This will be the Messiah or the ancestor of it. And she had the highest expectations. Was happy with Cain, acquired from the Lord. And she got another child, Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. We know very little, actually nothing, about how they grew up. But eventually, they're adults. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. It seems that Cain took the initiative, that Cain said, Abel, I'm going to sacrifice some of the crop of the field to the Lord. He was religious. He was serious. He meant it in a sense. And Abel, it looks like Abel followed his example and also a sacrifice to the Lord of the firstlings of his flock. And we see those two altars in the field and the smoke going up. Cain and Abel, two brothers, both sacrificing, both religious. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Something was wrong with that sacrifice of Cain. The Lord saw something Cain did not see, and probably Abel neither. Something was lacking. And the Lord did not accept his sacrifice, and he knew it somehow. And he became angry. He became wroth. He became very wroth. He couldn't stand it. He became so upset. Why was my sacrifice not accepted? I can't handle this. He was furious, very wroth. That's the start of it, right? That's the sin already against the sixth commandment, to get so angry, so proud he was. What was missing? Well, let me first show you that something was missing. The Lord spoke to him before he killed his brother, before that. And the Lord said, why art thou wroth? What's the matter? What's wrong? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why do you look so dark, so depressed, so down? I see it in your face. You're so angry, right? You can see that in people's faces, the expression. You're so angry. What's the matter? Why so wroth? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? See, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He did not do well. And we know from Hebrews that something was missing as well. He was missing what, do you think? He was missing true saving faith. Faith was missing. Love was missing. Humility was missing. A broken heart was missing. The fear of the Lord was missing. He was religious. He did his best. He did his works. He tried to please the Lord. But something was missing in his heart. And Abel was tender, made poor and needy, was a different person. And so unconverted ones can sometimes be so angry. Why is my sacrifice not accepted? Why am I not saved, being so upset with the Lord? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, Cain, I warn you, if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. It will get from bad to worse. It starts with anger, it results in manslaughter. Sin lieth at the door. Something has to change in your heart. You're so vulnerable. And Cain, did he listen? Did he say, oh Lord, I was mad. I should not have been so angry. It's my fault. I understand. I'm unworthy of life. No. Cain talked with Abel. What did they talk about? I don't know. He talked with Abel, came to pass, and they were in the field. Did he ask him to go to the field or so? Nobody there, in secret in the field. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him with a sword or something. There seems to be blood involved. He slew him. He killed his brother first. Murder in the Bible. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, the brother? Like the Lord also asked Adam and Eve what they did. And they were honest, right? He is lying now. Cain is lying. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Should I even care? I don't know where he is. It's not my business. I don't know. He was lying. And so often murder and lying are connected, right? Trying to get out of there, underneath of it, defending yourself. And the Lord showed him the consequences. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed. The field is not cursed. The earth is not cursed. You are cursed. You are cursed yourself this time. You're cursed. From the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain, he took it hard. He took it very hard. My punishment is greater than I can bear. A fugitive, a vagabond, being cursed, being banned, being excommunicated. I can't handle this. This is too much. Is there still hope for me? I'm afraid of my life. People kill me. And then what touched me is that the Lord says this. Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I don't understand this verse very well. I have questions. Like, should Cain not have been killed himself? Should the Lord have said, that's over with you as well? You have shed man's blood. Your blood also needs to be shed. I don't know. There was no government yet. And the Lord said, Cain, nobody is supposed to touch your life. If someone does, I'll revenge myself seven times. the Lord shows his patience, his goodness towards a murderer. Just in case you feel like that. You see something of the evil side of Cain and the patient side of the Lord. Were they patient with a murderer who slew his brother after having been warned? Don't do that. Why do you look so rough? And he yet did it purposely, premeditated murder, and the Lord was yet patient with him. That's who God is. I preach you a long-suffering, holy God who is merciful and patient and waiting to save people to the uttermost. Killing the image-bearer of God, what a sin. So maybe we never killed anyone yet, ever. Maybe we'll never do it either. But our catechism speaks also about the heart of it. What is commanded in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy. See, they started with Cain, envy, jealous, the difference, he could stand it, envy, hatred. We have, through our fall, become haters of God and haters of God's image. It's something we can stand in people. Sometimes we say, maybe we think, I won't mind if he would die. I wouldn't cry a tear if she would just pass away. I have no respect for that person. I don't care at all about him or her. That's a sin against this commandment. Or having that desire to take revenge. Because what he did to me hurt so deeply over so many years. I suffer still. I still have to have those memories. I can't stand the person. I would hit him with a fist in his face. I would like to kill him. That's a sin against the sixth commandment. We may be angry, upset, disappointed, but not so far that we retaliate and take revenge. The Lord says, let me do that. Let me take revenge. You take your hands off. You forgive. I do justice. You love. I'm righteous and holy. So let us not take things in our own hands. Think of King David. He was anointed to be king, and Saul, his father-in-law, was after him to kill him. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord has delivered thee today into my hands in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the anointed of God. So David spared his father-in-law, spared his enemy, because he was God's anointed one and respected God's image as well. He had no right to do that. Christ slain in order to save a people that kills the image bearers of God brings to the third thought. Let's go back to that bill with the face of the queen on it. I spit on that bill. I rip it up. I burn it. Offensive to harm the image of the queen. But you know, we are only image bearers in a very small sense. We are made in the likeness of God yet so far removed from God's essence, but only in a small sense, very little way, image bearer of God. What about the image of God? The express image of God? What about God's Son Himself? Who being the brightness of His glory. Christ being the brightness of God's glory. As bright, as glorious as God. And the express image of His person. So Christ being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God, of His Father, of His person. So close, Christ is God Himself, upholding all things by the word of His power, having purged our sins, set down the right hand of the Majesty of High. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the image of God. So how much respect should we have for that image? All respect, all glory, all honor. And sinners crucified Him. No words for that. The express image of God, this is declaring war to God, despising, killing, bruising His only begotten Son, who's God Himself, the express image of God. That's worse than spitting on a bill and ripping it up and putting it on fire. So God has given His express image in the preaching, in the word. Here I am, look at me. Look and be saved. Seek your salvation in Him. And we despise Him. The express image of God. We put it on fire. We don't care. There is no room in our hearts for Him, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was so innocent. We say innocent babies, innocent fetuses were murdered. You know what you mean? Deep down, they are not innocent, right? Born in sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the innocent one. Why did God do that? Why did God the Father kill His own image? It was God the Father who bruised Him, right? He did it Himself. So that sounds strange. God saying, I don't like people killing others. And He killed His own Son, Himself. Would you like an explanation for that? John 10. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life. I lay down my life for my sheep. He did so voluntarily. His Father said, who is He? And the Lord Jesus said, here I am. It was a voluntary sacrifice of the Jewish people, the Roman soldiers, Pontius Pilate, yes. But the Lord Jesus laid down His own life willingly. Why? To save murderers. To save people that had provoked Him to anger and burned, set fire on His own image. This is unheard of. This is something so strange, so foreign to our human thinking. God is so gracious. Let's time and again prove that the Bible is the Word of God, so unique by grace only, that murderers can be saved. Do you feel that you took revenge? You can't get over that? You can't forgive? You are bottled up with anger? You have committed anger? You have committed sin against this commandment. You have helped people, encouraged people to have an abortion. Paid for that. Because the shame on the family, right? Just to take it away, nobody knows. That is forgiveness. Sit on the cross, the murderer. We deserve it, he said. And the Lord Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He forgave the sin of the murderer who confessed his sins at the last moment. The Lord Jesus says, look on the, from the cross over all those who are around him, all those who are laughing, ridiculing him, and agreeing with this murderer. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, that blood of Christ. So much blood is shed. 55 million babies since 1953 in the States. More than Canada, more than Holland, more than many states. And there is still forgiveness. He can preach. Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment. Whatsoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. See? So the Lord Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount that we may not be angry in an unjust way, retaliating people. We're going to end. I hope that many may feel convicted, many feel sinners, feel murderers, feel worthy of life, and say, oh Lord, be mindful of me, be merciful of me, and that many may see something of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll end with a text about the blood. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How precious. By the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Almighty Lord, it sounds so harsh that we will be murderers ourselves, not respecting the image of God. May we take it to heart, Lord, and realize it and humble ourselves because of it. And cause, Lord, to now come, not flee away from thee, not say with Cain, my punishment is greater than I can bear, but come to the Lord Jesus Christ, give feet to come, give that whole urgent hearts to yet take refuge into the Savior, to his blood. He voluntarily gave it, he laid it down, and he took it up again. Lord, give thy blessing upon this sermon, that the word would not testify against us in the day of judgment, because you will know it. Remember us the rest of this day, also the other services. Give thy help, the arms of thy spirit, the spirit of prayer and supplication. Help us through this week. Lord, all the concerns, all the procedures planned, we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.